Welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Multicast in WebSphere MQ version 7.1. Today's presenters are Angel Rivera and Miguel Rodriguez. Angel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS client of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere Application Server. Miguel is also a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with SSL, clustering, and system integration bus from the WebSphere application server. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Miguel.
Thank you, Colleen. Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending our WebSphere MQ version 7.1 multicast presentation. The intent of this presentation is to introduce you to multicast concepts, how the WebSphere MQ 7.1 product can be configured to participate in multicast communications, and the features of using multicast communications. Next page, please. Slide 2. This presentation will be split into two halves. I will be presenting the first half of the agenda, which includes introduction to multicast, the communication information object, the multicast attributes in a topic object, and multicast security. The second half of the agenda will be provided by my colleague, Angel, who will basically present a demonstration of multicast. His demonstration will include configuration of multicast communications within MQ version 7.1 product, testing of non-multicast publish and subscribe, and testing of multicast communications. We would like to recognize and give many thanks to Paul Clark for his assistance in making this presentation possible. Next page, please. So, what is multicast? In computer networking, multicast is the delivery of a message or information to a group of destination computers simultaneously in a single transmission from the source. There's a messaging model that can be configured in such a way whereby transmission of data from a single source can be sent to many. And that messaging model is publish and subscribe. Next page, please. Slide 4. Multicast is a form of publish and subscribe, and it's handled by the network layer. In fact, multicast is mostly implemented through the use of Internet Protocol, or IP. In IP multicast, the routing of messages in the form of datagrams is handled and optimized by routers to a destination address. Therefore, your network devices, such as routers, will act as a broker of communications between publishers and subscribers. Next page, please. Multicast can be more efficient than traditional unicast publish and subscribe, providing the ability to have multiple publishers and scaling to a high number of subscribers without affecting performance. We're on slide 5, I'm sorry. However, multicast is more complex and requires configuration of routers to pass the multicast transmissions. Next page, please. Slide 6. WebSphere MQ version 7.1 provides the underlying code which enables MQ to participate in multicast communications. MQ provides topics whereby publishers of messages are decoupled with subscribers that consume these messages. Multicast is configured through two objects, the MQ topic object and a new MQ object called com.info, and that's communication information. Next page, please. Slide 7. The attributes of the com.info or communication information define the behavior of the multicast transmission, such as group address, the group IP address or DNS name passed to the publishers and subscribers to enable communication at the network layer. This attribute must be set and checked to ensure that the value is a valid multicast group address. Property propagation, how many of the MQMD properties and user properties flow within the message. Next page, please. Slide 8. Reliability setting, the amount of message history in kilobytes that is kept by the system to handle retransmissions. There are some checks employed within multicast, and one of these is retransmission of messages should the original transmission fail. How much of the message is sent in a retransmission is reconfigurable. And there's data conversion, the coded character set identifier that messages are transmitted on. Next page, please. Slide 9. Slide 9 and 10 are provided as detailed notes and a reference for the COMINFO object, which will help you in configuring this object in your multicast environment. And as such, these attributes will only be discussed briefly. The web address is shown. The web address shown is the COMINFO Info Center article. WebSphere MQ reference, administration reference, MQSC reference. The MQSC commands to create the COMINFO object is define COMINFO. The relevant attributes are type, which, of course, in this case, it's multicast, the only type. Group address, very important. The group IP address or DNS name. It is possible for all multicast clients to use the same group address for every topic, but using a single group address is inefficient. We recommend using a different IP group address for each topic or set of topics. The default group address value is 239.0.0.0. Slide 10, please. Next page. We also have the COMEV, which is for the communications event. This controls whether event messages are generated for multicast handles that are created using this COMINFO object. If enabled, event messages will be generated to the system admin PubSub event queue. We also have another attribute called monitor interval, and it's basically that. It controls how frequently in seconds event messages are generated about the status of the multicast handles. The default is 60 seconds. The next attribute is MSG HIST, and that stands for message history. This value is the amount of message history in kilobytes that is kept by the system to handle retransmissions in the case of negative acknowledgments. The default is 100 kilobytes. And, of course, we have the port number to transmit on. Default port is 1414, just like we have in MQ. Next page, please. Slide 11. Topic object. The topic object now contains two multicast attributes. The first, MCAST, specifies whether multicast is allowable in a topic tree. And, of course, communication info or COMINFO, the name of the multicast communication information object associated with this topic object. Next page, please. Slide 12. The MCAST parameter specifies whether multicast is allowable at this position in the topic tree. The MCAST options, or the attribute values for the topic, are as parent, which is the default. That means that the multicast attribute of the topic is inherited from the parent. Enabled, which allows multicast and non-multicast traffic at this node. And only, as the attribute value only allows multicast traffic and prevents non-multicast traffic. More information about the topic object attributes and values can be found at the following Info Center article. And, of course, the MQSC command is define topic. Next page, please. Slide 13, client connection. The multicast client, as any other MQ client, requires a queue manager name, host name, port, and channel name. A full duplex client-server connection is needed, however. Therefore, the server connection attribute shareconv, which is sharing conversations, must be set to a value greater than zero. Please note that if a value of zero is used for shareCNV, the multicast function is disabled. Next page, please. Slide 14. Multicast features, high availability. WebSphere MQ Multicast provides continuous peer-to-peer operation as messages do not flow through the queue manager. In the initial multicast connection, the queue manager services the MQ open call from the publisher and the MQ sub call from the subscriber for a given topic object. Both the publisher and subscriber will be passed multicast topic object attributes, which will be used to connect the publisher directly to the subscriber. That means that at that point, the queue manager will be bypassed. The communication will be at the network level. Next page, please. Multicast messages do not flow through the queue manager. If the queue manager terminates unexpectedly, multicast message transmissions will continue to flow unimpeded, as shown in the figure. There are two modes of operation, the client connection and reconnecting client connection. Next page, please. Client connection, slide 16. Multicast client connection flows while the client connection to the queue manager exists. If the queue manager terminates unexpectedly, the clients, that is the multicast clients, will receive a return code of 2009 or broken connection, as you see there in the figure. Even though established multicast communications flow, a new publishing and or subscribing client will not be able to connect to the topic until the queue manager is restarted and can service their initial MQI calls, MQPut, or MQSub. Next page, please. Slide 17. Reconnecting client connection. Multicast communication continues to flow even during a reconnection attempt to the queue manager. The client attempts to reconnect to the queue manager, and if that reconnection fails, the connection handle becomes broken and all MQI calls, including initial multicast ones, fail. Next page, please. Automatic client reconnection, slide 18. Eventually, the queue manager will be available after an unexpected termination. As such, we recommend that multicast clients are configured for automatic client reconnection as a component of high availability. Please see the following Info Center article for more information regarding automatic client reconnection. Note, if any application explicitly issues an MQ disk or an MQ disconnect, then all multicast subscriptions and object handles are closed. Next page, please. Slide 19. Multicast message reliability. A key element of overcoming transmission failure with multicast is Webster MQ's buffering of transmitted data. That is, a history of messages is kept at the transmitting end of the link. This process means that no buffering of messages is required in the putting application process because Webster MQ provides the reliability. A bigger transmission buffer means that there are more transmission history to be retransmitted if needed. But due to the nature of multicast, 100% assured delivery cannot be supported. Next page, please. Multicast, this is slide 20, multicast message reliability, the message history. As stated earlier, the multicast message history is controlled in the communication information or comm info object by the MSG HIST attribute. This value is the amount of message history in kilobytes kept for retransmissions. A value of zero, of course, gives the least level of reliability, and the default value for this attribute is 100 kilobytes. Next page, please. Slide 21. Multicast message reliability. New sub history. That's N sub hist. The Webster MQ multicast new subscription history is controlled also in the comm info object by the N sub HIST attribute. The new subscriber history controls whether a subscriber joining a publication stream receives as much data as is currently available or receives only publications made from the time of the initial subscription. Next page, please. Slide 22. Multicast security. MQ Multicast does not contain built-in security. Security checks are handled in the queue manager at the MQ open time, and the MQMD field setting is handled by the client. Some applications in the network might not be MQ applications. Therefore, you might need to implement your own security procedures because receiving applications cannot be certain of the validity of context fields. Next page, please. Okay, considerations of multicast security. There are three security processes to consider: access control, network security, and digital signatures. Next page, please. Slide 24. Multicast security access control. Access control in MQ is based on user IDs. The user ID of the process making the MQI calls is normally used for MQ MQI clients. The Server Connection MCA makes MQI calls on behalf of MQI clients. You can select an alternative user ID for the Server Connection MCA to use for making the MQI calls. Next page, please. Slide 25. The alternative user ID can be associated either with the client workstation or with anything you choose to organize and control the access of clients. The user ID needs to have the necessary authorities allocated to it on the MQ server to issue MQI calls. Choosing an alternative user ID is preferable to allowing clients to make MQI calls with the authority of the Server Connection MCA. For more information about access control for clients, please read the article at the following web address. Next page, please. Slide 26. Multicast security, network security. An isolated network might be a viable security option to prevent fake messages. It is possible for an application on a multicast group address to publish malicious messages using native communication functions. It is also possible for a client on the multicast group address to receive messages that were actually intended for other clients on the same multicast group address. Next page, please. Slide 27. Isolating the multicast network ensures that only valid clients and applications have access. For more information about multicast group network addresses, see Setting the Appropriate Network for Multicast Traffic at the web address below. Next page, please. Slide 28. A digital signature is formed by encrypting a representation of a message. The encryption uses the private key of the signatory and, for efficiency, usually operates on a message digest rather than the message itself. Next page, please. Slide 29. Digitally signing a message before an MQ put is good security precaution, but this process might have detrimental effect on performance if there is a large volume of messages. For more information on this subject, please see Cryptographic Concepts. Next page, please. At this point, we have reached the second half of our agenda, and as such, Angel will continue the presentation. Angel?
Miguel, thank you very much for introducing the concepts of MQ Multicast. Hello, MQ fans. In the rest of this presentation, we would like to describe how to do a basic configuration and testing of multicast. We include all the necessary steps, including diagrams and screen captures, in the following tech talk: basic configuration and usage of WebSphere NQ 7.1 multicast, IBM Tech Talk 7024903. The testing shown in this WSTE was done on a Windows system using samples written in C. Please note that MQ 7.1 multicast is only available in C-based code. It is not available for Java nor JMS. If you need the multicast capability for JMS, please submit a requirement to IBM. For more details on how you can submit a requirement, you can visit the TechNote 1266802, or you can send an email to Miguel or to me, and we can reply to you with a link for the TechNote. There are references in the MQ 7.1 Information Center about JMS and multicast, and that could be a little bit confusing, and that's the reason we wanted to let you know, to alert you about this. Those references are therefore an old version of a message broker, version 6, that supported MQ multicast transport. These references about multicast and JMS are not for the new MQ 7.1 multicast. Next page, please. Slide 31. As Miguel already mentioned, two objects are needed for MQ multicast: the COMINFO, or communication information object, the topic object, and the topic object requires two attributes: the COMINFO reference to the communication object and the MCAS attribute. Let's go to the next page, please. Slide 32. Let's define a COMINFO object. The following example uses the MQ administrative utility called runmqse to specify the IP group address of 239.0.0.1 for the port 1430, that's our test queue manager, and to enable the communication events. Then the syntax is define cominfo, NC1, that's the name. We use the plus sign at the end of the line. For those newbies out there, the plus sign when you're using RunMQSC is to indicate that the rest of the definition goes into the next line. Then we specify that the type is multicast, and the group address is 239001, the port is 1430, and then comenv for communication events is enabled. The default of this comenv is disabled, but we wanted to show you the communication events. Just for additional testing, let's define another object, and it will be called NC2, and it will have a group address of 239002. As Miguel mentioned, you could use the same group address for all the topics that you want, but that's not very efficient. Therefore, in this test, we are going to use two topics. One topic will have a group address that ends in 1, and the other topic will have the group address that ends in 2. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Page 33. The following screen capture from the MQ Explorer 7.1 shows the two cominfo objects that were created in the previous slide. From the left navigation panel, under the desired queue manager, select communication information. That's a new folder for 7.1. And then on the right panel, you will see the two configuration objects. And we have NC1, a group address that ends in 1, and NC2, a group address that ends in 2. Okay, let's go to the next page, page 34. This is just a quick bug, just to let you know that it's a small bug that has been reported. The monitor interval is 60 seconds, not milliseconds, as mentioned here. Then if you put 60, it's going to be 60 seconds. Next slide, please. In slide 35, we have the two parameters for defined topic. You can use existing topics in MQ7.1, or you can just create new topics. And in order for them to run with multicast, you have to change or to define two parameters. One is the cominfo and mcast. Those two attributes are new in 7.1. Therefore, if you migrated a queue manager from 7.0 to 7.1, and all those topics will have now the capability, those defined topics in 7.0, at that time in 7.0, did not have the cominfo or the mcast attributes, but when they were upgraded, the room was made available for them. The default for cominfo is nothing, and the mcast will be disabled. Those are the default values. And let's go to the next page, page 36. And the following command for run MQSC defines a topic object that will have only multicast traffic using the communication object of MC1. The name of the topic object is called fruit, and the topic string is price/fruit. And the attribute mcast is set to only, and the communication object, as I mentioned, is MC1, which uses the group address of 239001. And then let's define another topic, but this time let's just define it with mcast as disabled. And this topic is called fish, and the topic string is price/fish. Therefore, at this point, we have two topics. One that is enabled to use multicast and multicast only, and the other is disabled to use multicast. Why? Because we wanted to give you a baseline of the behavior when multicast is not used. Okay, let's go to the next page, please. Page 37. This is a screen capture of where you can define in the topic using the MQ Explorer. You have to go to the tab of the properties called Distributed Publish Subscribe, and at the bottom you will see there is a multicast, and then you will have a drop-down for only, disabled, enabled, aspirant, etc. And then the communication information, you specify the proper communication object name. Next page, please. Page 38. Testing using the C source samples. In the TED Talk that we mentioned, that is 7024903, we include the zip file that has samples written in C code. And the first one is a publisher, and it is it provides an endless loop in which a publisher publishes one message every 2 seconds. It includes a logic to provide details if the client got disconnected, for example, the queue manager ended, and attempts to try to automatically reconnect. Then you will have statements shown at runtime to show you that, hey, I'm trying to reconnect, and I'll be waiting for 1 minute, or later on, I'm trying to reconnect, and I'm going to wait for 2 minutes, and so on. This sample is based on a sample already shipped with MQ. It is called MQS-PHAC, which means high availability client for doing MQ put point-to-point. Then the changes to that sample already provided with MQ was, first, to make it publish, and second is to make it automatically publisher. Sorry, that was it. Next page, please. The second example is a subscriber, and this subscriber, it provides an endless loop in which a subscriber gets the published messages. It also includes the logic to provide details about this connection, and it's also based on a current example. The sample is called the high availability client for doing MQ gets point to point. Again, the main changes was to change from just receiving to do an MQ get for a queue, it is an MQ get for a subscription. Now, just to mention, the sample, just in case you want to see the original samples, the samples are provided with IBM code, provided that you include also the samples file set. For example, in Linux, you will have to specify the particular RPM for the samples. And this slide shows at the bottom the location of those samples. Again, those are the original samples that are for point-to-point. And the zip file that we provide in the TechDoc are for publish subscribe. Also, just additional notes, in the zip file, we're including two samples. One is a very basic sample that is based on MQS put C and MQS get C. Those are very simple samples that will just do a put and a get. And, sorry, is about the put for publisher and the spot for subscribe, those two. Those two do not handle automatic reconnection. Client reconnection. However, in the zip file, we are including the variations that will handle automatic client reconnection, and then, therefore, they can participate also in multicast. And the changes were done basically from changing from MQCon to MQConX, which is important for the automatic reconnection. Okay, let's go to the next page, please. Page 40. The executables are that are provided with the zip file for this tech doc in Windows are called MQS HAC for high availability client pub and Linux. There is a typo there that will be fixed in the next refresh of this PDF. Linux, it just ends with pub instead of poo. And the source code files have comments in the header that explain how you can compile them in Windows and Linux 32-bit. For Windows, we also include the batch files that are for compilation, and they are using just the Windows compiler. Next page, please. Page 41. Okay. Now, let's proceed to do the setup for the testing. We'll use MQ Explorer to show the status of the queue manager. In this case, it's called MQ710, and it is up and running, as you can see from the green arrow next to the name of the queue manager. Next page. Slide 42. Now, we open two windows, one for the publisher on the left and another for the subscriber on the right. Okay, let's go to the next page. Now, in each window, we have to do the proper setup, okay? And first, we have to change to the directory where the samples were downloaded and extracted. In this case, let's say it's C:NQ:71-multicast. That's where we downloaded the zip file from the tech doc and extracted it. The second step is we have to ensure the environment that we want to use is MQ 7.1. In our particular test, just to make things more thorough, we tested in a Windows machine in which we have two installations of MQ. We have 7018 in the default directories, and we have also MQ 7.100 in another directory. MQ 7.1, besides including multicast, is also adding new function for multi-versions of MQ installed in the same machine. Now, that includes that the reason we wanted to include this particular step is just to let you know that you can have multiple versions of MQ installed in the same machine, but it is very important that you need to run the proper command called setmqenv and explain which one, specify which installation you want to run, 7.0 or 7.1. In this case, we are running with 7.1. Now, the third step that we need to do is we need to tell the samples how to find the queue manager, and we use the MQ server environment variable, in which we are using the system dev server con, and we use TCP, and the name of the host, and then 1430 as the port number. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 44. Now, again, we have the MQ Explorer showing that the queue manager is running. We have two windows. On the left, we have the publisher. On the right, we have the subscriber. We'll go into the publisher. We have already done the setup to run to specify which queue manager we want and so on. And what we do is we'll start this sample that is MQS HAC pub publisher for the topic string of price slash fish and the queue manager name. Well, this topic, even though it has a com info and an MCAS, the value of the MCAS is disabled, which means that it's not going to exploit the new IP multicast function. Okay? The publisher opens the connection to the queue manager. The queue manager says, oh, you are working with PriceFish. The MCAS is disabled. This is normal pub sub. Okay. Then the publisher receives an object handle. And when he puts a message, the MQ client underneath the publisher says, oh, this topic, it is just normal pops up. Then I need to send the message to the queue manager. Okay? Then in this case, he's sending message one and message two. And then in this particular scenario, it's snapshot in time, the publisher, through the MQ client code, has sent two messages to the queue manager. Okay? Let's go to the next page. And this is now the subscriber. The subscriber, he says, okay, I am going to start with the same topic, price slash fish, and this queue manager. He connects to the queue manager. The queue manager says, oh, price fish is something that does not use multicast. Here is the object handle. The subscriber says, okay, I'm listening. The MQ client underneath the subscriber is actually communicating with the queue manager. Says, hey, oh, we receive one message, and oh, we receive another message, and is the subscriber the application now is displaying, hey, we got message one, we got message two. Then in this scenario, we have published so far two messages. The queue manager has identified that there is a subscriber for that topic, and it sends those two messages to the subscriber, and the subscriber has displayed those two messages. So far, so good. Let's go to the next page, page 46. Okay. Now, we added just a couple of seconds more, and let's go to the next slide, please. Slide 47, and what we have here is the picture of the MQ Explorer showing that the queue manager is up and running. We have in the left hand, the publisher saying that there were four messages that have been published. Again, those messages went to the queue manager. The queue manager did a match to the subscriber and sent them to the left subscriber on the left side. And this subscriber has displayed four received messages. So far, so good. That's the normal published subscriber. Let's go to the next page. Now, let's analyze a little bit. We'll have corresponding diagrams for the rest of the scenarios, okay? The blue arrows represent the control and feedback. for example, when the publisher tries to contact for the first time the queue manager, it will be using the blue arrow. The blue arrow will say to the queue manager, hey, I'm trying to connect. Do I have the permissions? Do I have everything? Yes. The queue manager says, okay, yeah, I have this particular topic, and returns through the blue arrow the characteristics of the object, of the topic. Then the publisher says, okay, now I'm ready to send a message. And the publisher doesn't know if it has to be the queue manager or the multicast. He doesn't know. He just says to the MQ client code, hey, you client code, I need to put this message, publish this message. The MQ client code underneath will say, oh, right now this is a normal pop-up. I have to use the green channel in a sense. I mean, all these are represented by the shared conversations of one and greater than zero using the server connection channel. Then sends the message to the queue manager. The queue manager receives the message and says, okay, I have matching subscribers. Well, what happened on the left side is that the subscriber did the same thing. It started a connection to the queue manager and says, I'm subscribing to the topic fish. And the queue manager says, oh, I have now a subscriber for the topic fish. Here is the object handle. Here is all that information. And then when the queue manager receives a message from the publisher, says, oh, this is topic price slash fish. Yes, I have a subscriber. I will generate a duplicate message and send that duplicate message to the subscriber one. Now, we wanted to simplify things, and we had only one subscriber in the picture. But imagine that if you have 10 subscribers, 100 subscribers, 1,000 subscribers, okay? Now, by pushing kind of the limit like this, you are going to kind of maybe visualize. Let's say that we have 1,000 subscribers. Then the queue manager will say, oh, I have 1,000 subscribers for price fish. Therefore, I need to create 1,000 different messages and send each Twitch subscriber the message. Then it will start with sending message one to subscriber one and so on, subscriber two, subscriber 1,000. It will be in sequence. As you can see, subscriber one will receive the message first than the subscriber 1,000. Okay? And for some customers, that's not a problem. For some others, say, well, this is stock sensitive information. I want to receive all my subscribers to receive the message at the same time instead of just one after the other. Okay? Now let's go to the next page, page 49. In page 49, okay, now let's do the following test. Let's stop the queue manager. Okay? Now, what we are going to do is, in all these scenarios, we are going to stop the queue manager with the following conditions. First, immediate. And the second is we have to instruct the reconnectable clients to reconnect. Okay? The immediate why? The normal way of terminating, the default way of terminating a queue manager is extremely polite. When we said end MQM, the queue manager name, the queue manager is asking, it says, oh, do I have connected clients? Yes, I have 10 clients. Then the client will say, well, I will wait until those clients do the disconnect. Well, if they are Polish subscribers, probably they will not disconnect. Therefore, the queue manager will never end. Okay? Then it was too polite. Then by using the minus I immediate, it still is graceful. Okay? This is not too drastic. The queue manager says, listen, I'm going to handle your last activity, and then you need to disconnect. Okay? Imagine if somebody comes to a teller in the bank and wants to do 10 transactions with checks, okay? And in the case of just normal NQM, the client just gives one check, but it still has 9 checks, and the cashier just is waiting for the next check. It may not happen because maybe the client is just busy talking on the cell phone or texting, you know? Now, when we say end NQM minus I, the cashier says, okay, I'm finishing with the transaction with check number one, and then I'm finishing with you, okay? And you need to gracefully terminate. And then the client says, well, I have 9 checks left, but I was told that I need to move to the next cashier or whatever. And then that's the end. That's the reason we need to have immediate. We really need to terminate the queue manager, but it's still gracefully. We are not doing anything drastic. Now, the second instruction is with the R. And that's the I. When you say end MQM minus I, that's the immediate. With the R, we are telling, hey, if you are a client that you are capable to reconnect, trying to reconnect, it could be to another queue manager, it could be to the same queue manager, it doesn't matter. The client will try to reconnect. Then you can combine the two flags at the line command by saying minus IR for minus immediate and reconnect. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 50. Now, for the following, this is just things that I'm going to explain in the next slide. Let's go to the next slide, please. Slide 51. Okay. In this case, we have terminated the queue manager, and as you can see on the right in the upper side, the arrow is red, indicating that the queue manager is down. And we see on the publisher and in the subscribe, the attempt, these are reconnectable clients, and they were told, hey, you can reconnect. And those are the attempts by the automatic client reconnection code of the MQ clients, then saying, well, I'm trying to reconnect in 73 milliseconds, and then 95 milliseconds, and then 1,895 milliseconds, and so on. As you can see, the time interval increases over time. And right now, the last message that was published by this publisher was 59, and the last message that was received by the subscriber was 59. Okay? Then 59 and 59, there are no more attempts. The publisher is waiting for the reconnection with the queue manager to be able to publish, okay? Okay, that's the end of this scenario, and let's go to page 52. In page 52, okay, what happened there? Okay, by terminating the queue manager, we also terminated the connections, the blue arrows and the green arrows. In a sense, we don't have any more exchange of control and feedback. And the publisher cannot send messages to the queue manager, and the subscriber will not get any new messages, okay? That's, so far, the normal way of operation in version 7.0 or the 7.1 if we are not using multicast. We wanted to give you this baseline. In that way, you can see, okay, that's how the code, the pub sub is working. The queue manager is involved for the publishing of messages. Hopefully, this will give you an idea of point of comparison when we cover in the next scenario, what is the difference when we use multicast. Let's go to the next page, 53. Okay. In this case, it's the similar setup. Actually, we'll use the same commands. The only thing that instead of price fish, which was not multicast, will be fresh price fruit. And the topic fruit was with MCAST enable only, and we could have used also enabled, but the MCAST enable attribute will allow both multicast and non-multicast, and we wanted to give you a really sure way of identifying, oh yes, definitely we are using multicast, and that's the reason we wanted to use only. It's up to you. You may want to start with only just to prove that your network is capable and the routers and so on of using multicast. And once you have proved it, then maybe you can change it from only to enable if you want. Okay? Then we'll repeat the scenario. This time we'll have to start up the queue manager. Now we have the queue manager up and running. We start the publisher, and this time we use again the topic called fruit, and we start the subscriber with the topic fruit. And the let's go to the next page to see what happens. Page 54. And let's go to the next page, 55. Okay, let's explain things. We have the queue manager up and running, as shown as the green arrow. We have on the left side, we have the publisher. And so far, there have been 7 messages that were published. And on the right side, we have the subscriber that has received those 7 messages. And let's go to the next page, please. Similar interaction happens. The publisher, when it starts, it says, oh, I need to communicate to the queue manager. It's going to use the blue arrows to communicate with the queue manager. It says, hey, I'm going to use this topic. It's called fruit. The queue manager will say fruit is associated with a common info and is MCAST only. That information is passed through the blue channel to the publisher and the MQ client code that is underneath. The and when the publisher says, okay, I want to publish this message, the MQ client says, oh, I don't. This is multicast only. Therefore, I do not have to send a message to the queue manager. Instead, I have to put it into the network and use the IP multicast. And that's a representation at the bottom of this diagram that the yellow envelope representing a message is using by means of the green arrows is being put into the network. Similarly, with the subscriber connects to the queue manager and says, hey, I'm going to subscribe to this topic, the fruit topic. And the queue manager says, oh, this topic has a cominfo object. This is a group address for the network, and it is multicast only. The MQ client code says, oh, I have to put my green arrows, in a sense, talking to the network instead of waiting for the queue manager. Then hopefully this diagram will show you the representation that the publisher is putting messages into the network, and the routers and all that hardware and software are going to duplicate the ones, and the subscribers are the ones who are going to do the matching of the messages. Okay, let's go to the next page, 57. Okay, well, 57. And you may notice that externally, if you didn't look at the diagram, just at the behavior of the screens that we're looking, well, the two scenarios are identical, okay? We see that the queue manager is active, the publisher is publishing messages, the subscriber is getting messages and say, well, are you pulling our legs or what? I mean, I don't see any difference. Well, how do I know that really multicast is happening? One possibility is we can get traces and we'll get tons of megabytes of tracing, and we'll have to dig through all that, and that will be complex for you guys. Well, we wanted for you to see something that visually you could see, oh, yeah, multicast is being used. Okay, and what we are going to do is, at this time, in this scenario, we'll terminate the queue manager, and we'll see that the messages keep flowing, and that will prove that the queue manager is not involved with the distribution of multicast. Therefore, what we'll do is, again, we'll end the MQ manager with the minus IR, which means I for immediate, R for reconnect. And once we do that, let's go to the next page, page 58. Well, this is just explanation of the next slide. Let's go to page 59. In 59, okay, right now, the screen capture was in the way when we hit on the stop, immediate, and reconnect from the MQ Explorer. And in this moment, the queue manager is disconnecting and terminating. Then we can see in the two windows below that the publisher has already sent successfully 193 messages, and then he detected, it says event, connection reconnect. Which means it detected that there was a problem with the connection. But the publisher says, well, I don't need the queue manager to send messages. Therefore, it continues now with message 194. And then at the same time, it's trying to connect to the queue manager because it needs to have that connection for passing the control information and so on. But it still is keeping sending messages. At the bottom of the publisher side and the left side, you will see that is message 195. Okay? Now, if we go to the left, right side, the subscriber has already received 193 messages and says, oh, I detect that there is a problem with the connection. I will try to reconnect, again, just for the purposes of exchanging control information and feedback, event information and so on. But I don't need the queue manager to do the sending, receiving messages. Then let's go to the next page, page 60. And in page 60, we waited a little bit longer. And the queue manager, as you can see, has a red arrow that is not working. And in the left side, and we can see then in the publishers and the subscribers, we have received 206 messages. Remember, in the previous attempt, it was 193 that we stopped. The previous snapshot, the queue manager has been down all this time, and right now we are at message 206. I mean, this is a clear proof that the queue manager is not involved. It has not been working for since message 193, but the publisher is able to continue publishing messages, and the subscriber is able to receive those messages. Let's go to page 61, please. Okay? And one more time, let's go to page 62. And, okay, let's see what's happening. What we are here in this diagram, what we want to show is that the queue manager went down, therefore the blue arrows that represent the control and feedback are not available. But the publisher is able to continue publishing messages through the network, and the subscriber is receiving things from the network. Eventually, we expect the queue manager to be up and running, and then let's go to the next page, 63. And we'll restart the queue manager, and let's go to page 64. Okay, the queue manager is up and running again. You can see it's in the green arrow. The publisher and subscriber detected that, hey, I'm able to connect again. And you can see in the subscriber is more obvious. It says event connection reconnected. It managed to reestablish all those connections to the queue manager. And now we are in message 257. The last snapshot was 203. The previous one was 193. As you can see, we have still received and sending messages. Let's go to page 65, please. Okay. Just before I cover this slide, I wanted to let you know that there is another way that you can test these things. For example, let's suppose that you don't have a compiler for the moment, and you want to test in Solaris, let's say. And you can download a support pack. It's called MA01. It's called the Q program. And we have included in the Chapter 6 of our Tech Talk the details on how you can use that Q program in order to do the publishing and subscribe. We will update the PDF of this webcast, and instead of page 65 being the monitoring pop-up events, 65 will be how to use that support pack. Now, let's go now to this 66 when you are – where's the, sorry, let's go back to 65, sorry. Thank you. When you read the PDF version later on this week, this will be a different page number, but it's still. When we define the communication event object, we wanted to say also that we wanted the communication events. Those events were added in the system admin PubSub event, and Chapter 7, not 6, Chapter 7 of our Tech Talk describes how you can see those events. Those events will be like a publisher, hey, I send these many messages, and subscriber, I receive these many messages. And also there will be an MCAS rel for multicast reliability, something that Miguel mentioned, and there will be some statistics there indicating that if there were retransmissions and so on. Now, in order to do that, we recommend to use a plugin that has been updated recently, too, that is called the MS0P, as in Peter, for configuration and display extension plugins. And our tech doc in that Chapter 7 describes how you can install the plugin and how you can actually see and display the events. Let's go to the next page, please, page 66. And these are the references for the initial concepts and so on. There is not a full section in the Information Center about multicast. Instead, there are little subsections about multicast in different parts of the Information Center, and we wanted to gather all that information in this tech talk, in this presentation, and in this slide. Okay, and that's the end of our presentation. And we are passing the control now to Colleen.
Thank you, Angel and Miguel, for a great presentation. At this point, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have one question from Heiko Karg. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Is this only feasible for non-durable subscriptions or also for durable subscriptions?
There are certain conditions. if you want to do durable subscriptions or if you want to provide the queue for the subscriptions, by definition, that requires knowledge by the queue manager. Then if the queue manager goes down, then you will not be able to do multicast. Therefore, if you are trying to do multicast when the subscriber is durable or the subscriber is saying, I want those messages put in a provided queue, then it will not work. You will get some error messages. Therefore, the conditions are subscriptions must be non-durable, and they have to do something called managed subscriptions. In that way, you let the queue manager decide.
Okay, thank you. That was my understanding also.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
We have no further questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Angel and Miguel, for presenting today.